Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, tune in Monday nights to twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. We hang out and we bring some ideas for this upcoming thing that might not ever happen. It's a narrative podcast called Paranormal, where a Willie and a Wade analog find Bigfoot and shit like that. So it's fun. That's on twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our new friend. He's a singer and songwriter. The album is called Southern Galactic. It's out now. Get it anywhere. It's Caleb Hutchinson.
Thanks for me, gentlemen. It's so great to be here.
Thanks for doing it.
Man, I'm stoked. And also, if you need any help finding Bigfoot, I know him personally.
All right.
Well, because you're in Nashville. And so is there a lot of forests out there?
Do they have skunk ape or do they have Bigfoot?
We got some woods. I was just thinking of my cousin, Ricky. I've been out in the woods. I've seen some things, but, you know, I've lived a hard life to have such a good looking face. It doesn't really show the years and the turmoil I put myself through. I hide it well, but I've seen some stuff.
Well, speaking of the stuff that you've seen, how into the world of like the paranormal and conspiracy theories are you?
I think what it is I'm that perfect generation where like I played outside as a kid. And then when I was like 10, 11, 12, I found YouTube. So I found videos of like conspiracy theories, paranormal stuff. And so I feel like I'm fairly well versed, but I'm sure I'm not at the peak level like you gentlemen are, but I can hang.
Well, I'm not at all. I don't know any of this stuff. Willie's the expert. I'm just along for the ride.
I'm just a skeptic of everything. So I think that's what allows me to, I'm probably somewhere between y'all. Because most of the time, my conclusion is probably, but I'll never know anyway.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I think the audience is tired of that standpoint, honestly, because I'm always like, okay, so what? It's not going to matter to me.
I'll think whatever's most entertaining. Whatever y'all believe, I will believe firmly the opposite.
Well, here's the thing. You said you were maybe in between us. We have something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
And it's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I will give you a score between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie.
Okay.
Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
Weigh me.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I was just having this alien talk. I believe it's plausible. I think I'm more into the idea of like interdimensional beings that I think I prefer that over beings from another planet that are as intelligent or more intelligent than us that have came here and just kind of messed around. If there was a chart of like strongly disagree, strongly agree, I'm probably a soft agree.
If you think of these aliens as interdimensional beings, which is fine, you can define them however you want.
Yeah.
Do you think that they've crossed over into our dimension?
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Second question, ghosts.
I'll say yeah. Also, I'm not trying to over-explain my answers. I'm of the mind that like you will never, like grandma's not walking around your house. That's my personal opinion. But I do think that like spirits exist. Kind of tying into the first question a little bit. But yeah, I think they're are things that we can't see.
The problem is that the old definitions are so religious based that they don't apply to what could be actually happening. You know, that's what I think. It's like you look at like quantum mechanics and whatnot and parallel dimensions and whatnot. Maybe it was described as your grandma, but it's actually just an energy that echoes the same thing or
yeah.
Some old whore.
Yeah.
It's not your grandma, it's some old whore.
Man, I grew up in this, in Georgia, and I had some buddies, and my buddy Jared, it was very like it was a joke. He was like, oh yeah, we got a ghost, and we named him Bobby. This is what got me like, yeah, there's something. Because we would sit in his living room and it would be just us, and we'd hear like knocking or something in the hallway in the back room, and he'd go, Bobby, knock it off. And then it would stop. And I was like, I don't think you're talking to a guy named Bobby, just so you know, but you're talking to something.
Wow.
It's cool. It's kind of nice that the ghost was like, well, I guess my name's Bobby now. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. He's like, you know, he's a Casper. We really like that guy until he eats them.
Georgia, any other kind of like spooky? I mean, Georgia's like old. We're from Colorado. And so there's not like, it's old, but it's not like very old. Like we don't have any of the East Coast history where like a lot of the ghost shit happens. Is there a lot of ghost stuff in Georgia?
Savannah is like a really big haunted city. They do like haunted carriage rides. And, you know, back in like the Civil War, Sherman's March to the Sea all ended there. A lot of things were burned. A lot of people died. So like Savannah's got a creepy vibe to it. And we have like battlefields and, you know, like a lot of Native American landmarks and stuff. So yeah, I think there's a good amount of activity going on. The
countryside's covered in blood.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got some spookiness. But any rural community, like if it's 2 a.m. and you're on like a dirt road and there's nothing around, you feel like there's a demonic presence. At least I do. That spooks me out all the time.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't believe in any of it, so I talk myself out of it. But I've definitely gone to sleep with the covers over my head just because I heard a noise.
Yeah, I mean, the covers help. That's really all we need.
Just a security blanket.
Right? We need horse blinders because I'm like, if I keep looking, I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah.
That would be even scarier if you couldn't see.
I wonder if that's like a power play. Like, let's say you walked in and there was a spirit, like a person, a something, and you just pretended you couldn't see them. Would they be like, what the? I hit the reveal button.
Yeah, I'm not doing it right.
This guy's walking past me. If you were just like, hey, what's up, man? And then just walk past him. You know, maybe that's the secret.
Yeah, I was doing that energy move, I think.
Dishes the other night, and I just imagine, because like in the reflection of the glass in front of me is this hole we have in our kitchen, so you can see into the living room. And I just imagined a face being on the other side there. I was like, oh, fuck. And like, I got the goosebumps so bad. And I'm like, am I now like willing something to be there? Because I keep checking. And I'm like, just stop. And I just said this out loud as I'm doing this. She's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I think I even sang it because I was just like, well, just fucking ignore it. Like, get out of my head.
Like, dude, you were so embarrassed for yourself that you had to sing it so that it would be less embarrassing.
That just brought back a like repressed memory. I remember when I was a kid, I used to always sleep with like the blinds in my room up so I could see out the window. And I remember I was probably like 7 or 8 years old and I had a friend over that was spending the night. And he was like, you gonna put the blinds down while we sleep? And I'm like, no, why would we? And he's like, well, what if a face pops up in the window? And like my room wasn't on like the bottom floor. It was a good 15 feet up. And from that moment, I was like, well, I'm never sleeping with the window like accessible again, because I've just pictured Lucifer's face just popping up. And now I can't get it out of my head to this day. If something happens there, boys, I'm running.
That's how I am too. I can't look out. I can't see window in my room.
Yeah, curtains.
I've always closed the curtains. My childhood home faced a big empty field, and so it was like, we gotta close these, man. Like, who knows what's out there? I want some pervert coyote looking at us.
I grew up in a trailer park, and we had a window watcher. You look, get outside, and there'd be like a whole bunch of cigarettes outside our bedroom window. Yeah. And I was like,
I thought you said that was like, your dad.
Well, I kept going in my head, is this a stranger or is this my dad watching us? And I don't know the answer.
Either way, it's kind of sweet. Like it's endearing. You know?
Like, he can't talk to us, but he knows us.
It's a neighborhood watch. That's all it is. Just checking in. It was Santa Claus.
Yeah, he just took the hood out of there. It's just neighbor watch.
Yeah. A neighbor's watch.
Now you already said that Bigfoot is your cousin. Yep. But do you believe in Bigfoot in general?
Yes. It's a loose conviction just because I wouldn't doubt it. I think there's probably so many like species that are still around that we don't think are. the bottom of the ocean freaks me out with that in particular, like all the Meg and all that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if the government hadn't put him in some holding cell somewhere to run tests on. Like, the idea that he's evaded anybody is kind of far-fetched. Like, that he's just so good at running through the woods that drones and radar and all this stuff hasn't been able to get him. But yeah, probably.
Okay, psychics?
Yeah. I don't know about, like, palm reading, but, like, there's probably people that pick up on some waves out there. And
have you ever gone to a psychic?
No. Never. But also...
So you don't believe in them that much.
Yeah, but I would never walk up to a psychic and be like, that's BS, dude. No way. I'm like, right. Cool. Yeah, maybe you do know something, but I'm not going to pay.
But that could be just because you're not confrontational. I would never do that to anyone.
Oh, I love to yell at people doing their job. It's, you know.
I think the reason why I haven't gone to a psychic is because of the same reason where you said your friend sleeping. I was like, what if a head popped in the window? I'm like, there's a chance that this psychic could say something to me that would just change my mind.
Yeah.
For my anxiety. Yeah, that's like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's the thing too with that. It's like, what if you are told something that changes your trajectory in a way that it wasn't meant to? Or I don't know. I feel like you said, anxiety, I have enough of the like constant questioning of every decision I make and what it's all for that I don't need someone to look at my palm and be like, you should invest into Dogecoin. Yeah. get into crypto.
Last question. Do you believe that we are living in a simulation theory, or do you believe in any of these versions of the simulation theory?
I don't buy into the simulation. If it is the case, there's no point in me knowing. But I would just like to think that this is the first plane of existence for what we know as reality and not someone in reproduction of it, replication. But maybe I'm sitting in a chamber right now with a feeding tube and just, you know, watching a movie. I have no clue.
Yeah, or maybe you don't exist at all. Maybe you're just code based on some other guy.
Or maybe I am God. It's got to be something in between.
Could be God too. But if you're God, then what am I?
You're God. If that's the case, then we are all the universe experiencing ourselves, and you are me and I am you. But again, a little far-fetched for me.
I actually do believe that. That's my new thing.
If you're trying to teach a God how to respect the universe, well, they just have to go be everybody.
I don't know, because when we get into the God conversation, that's a big one. But like, if God is omnipotent and like all-knowing, all-powerful, I don't know. That's probably a little too deep for me to dip my chip in, honestly.
You're from the Bible Belt. Like, what's your relationship with religion? Are you religious?
Yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I believe in like the God of the Bible and Jesus. It makes sense to me. But like,
yeah,
I'm not picketing or like talking on the street or anything. Which
you're not an extremist. You're just like, sure, that's what I'll believe.
I have my beliefs and things that I tell my close friends, but I'm not like out here arguing with anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, I have so much of me that is so aware of how little I really know. And so I'm never going to like fight with someone over what we believe. Like, the main thing to me will always be being a kind person and treating people well. But my personal belief is Christianity. Yes. And I will. Well,
we're gonna fight tonight. You're gonna have to fight us tonight.
What's funny, and I've never spoken about this at all, but I kind of not in like a big way, but fell away from it for quite a few years. If you'd interviewed me a year ago and asked me, I may give you more of an I don't know answer. I think like in the past year or so, I've had to kind of redefine and reapproach like God and religion in general. And I wasn't going off of like, this is what my parents taught me. I like went from my own course of action, talked to people from other religions and agnostics and diehard atheists that they were worm food. And the conclusion that I was eventually led to was Christianity.
Was that spawned by any kind of like event in your life, or did you just come back to it?
This time last year, I was in, I did like a mental health intensive type thing. My whole life, I'd never grown up doing like therapy or any of those kinds of things. And just got to like a really, really low point and just decided to go all in on it. And it was really interesting because during that process, and I know it's like kind of similar in like AA and stuff too, where it's like the relationship to your higher power, whatever that is to you. Yeah. And I'd never thought of God that way, of like, oh, well, what can my higher power be? And I realized, like, I think, and maybe I'll change my mind at some point, but what I kind of got from that was I had gotten my mind in such a position about like thinking about God and the way I looked at God from growing up in church and being in a religious community, that I was at a point where I was like, well, God hates me. God hates what I've done. And if I know God the way I think and I've acted the way I've acted and been how I've been, dude's got to be wanting me to die too. You know, it can't just be me.
And because you were fed the really, I just had the word and I forgot it.
Hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, it's, I've always looked at it as just like any other relationship, like with a spouse or something. And it's like, if you had a wife and you were like, I love you with all my heart, I want you to have every part of me, and then you acted like they didn't exist for 4 years, you might be scared to come home. So I think I was just like, I don't want to talk to this guy. You know, I'm terrified. Yeah. And I got to that point, and I could go further and further, but essentially like in 2 weeks time from the moment I was like, I want to get help with this. And I didn't even know that was a possibility. I thought I was just flawed and bad and was destined to just be this way or die. But the moment that I was like, I need some help with this, I had like no money, no connections to anyone in like therapy or any of those services. And it all happened in like 2 weeks. I got help with like financially out of nowhere. The place I went had like a 6-month waiting list. And I was like, honestly, I was in a dark enough place where I was like, I don't know if I have 6 months of like living like this. And then they were like, hey, someone just canceled. Can you do 2 days from now?
Wow.
And so I remember I had this moment when I was at that place where it just kind of hit me of like, if I believe in God and something greater than me, and I've been kind of operating under this assumption that he hates me and giving up on me, doesn't care about me. And I was just like, in the past, like 2 weeks, all this stuff came together in such a powerful way for me, like 10 different things that I would have been like, that's the reason this is impossible. They all just went away. And so that for me was like God shaking me and being like, what do you know? Like, you really think you know how I think or like what this is all about? You're a child, you know? And so that was kind of the message in there. And you know, that was the big shift for me. And that made God more real to me than like he had ever had been.
Well, you predicted you would be in between us. The results are in. You're a straight up five. You're a straight up Willie.
Oh, wow. Woo-woo. Wow. Look at us. All right. I know whose team I'm on now. And that's why I've come to evangelize. So I'm going to actually mail you guys some pocket Bibles.
Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, selling your soul to the devil. Is it just an expression, or have any musicians actually done it? Let's talk about who may have sold their soul to the devil and what proof, if any, there is tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Yeah, so there's Robert a new Johnson. Beyonce is doing the, I don't want to jump the gun if this is something that you want to talk about, but like, isn't Beyonce doing a Renaissance tour right now? And isn't that part of the whole, well, let me just ask you, are we getting into Illuminati with this or not?
We gotta be,
Well, I feel like we're going into classic rockers more so than than any of the new school stuff with the music videos, because the music videos to me is all Illuminati. You know, it's weird. I should have been more specific, but I'm like, yeah, I'm just talking about some classic old rockers who have said these things, basically. The new school world, they don't say anything about it. You just see symbology, Illuminati shit. You see the death and rebirth in their music videos, but that's not where we're going.
I have some points. I have quite a few points.
Nice. And we can go into those, but I just looked into the first one that we're going to talk about is, you know, Eric Clapton sang a song called Crossroads. It was a cover of a guy named
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, have you ever seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, of course. It's
that's kind of got the reference to the Crossroads, the soul selling. But yeah, the Robert Johnson is where I first, to me, I think that's like, at least in America, that's kind of the basis of selling your soul to the devil for talent.
So this is when he was in Cream, yeah?
That was just the cover. So who he was covering was Robert Johnson. They say the reason why they say that is because, you know, he played the harmonica. And then he kind of disappeared for 2 years and came back as one of the best musicians of all time. And a lot of these people have said that to him. Delta blues style. He only recorded songs for 7 months in his life.
Yeah.
And he recorded 29 songs. Yeah. You can jump in if you want. I'll catch.
One of his songs, I think it's called Hellhounds or Hellhounds on My Trail, but it was one of his last songs, I believe. And it was about hellhounds being on his trail. Which is like, I think that's also, I could be wrong, but isn't that part of like the 27 Club thing? Didn't he die at 27?
I think he was 27.
But I think that was like the whole concept of selling your soul, and also the 27 Club thing is part of that, I think. But it's like that you sell your soul to Satan for talent, power. In the Bible, Satan tempted Jesus with like, he took him up on a mountain and said, look at the world. Like, I can give you all this. So the idea is like the devil comes to you. He's like, I can give you everything you dreamed of. I can give you talent, fans, fame, money, but like your ass is mine basically. Yeah. And so the whole hellhound thing is that, like the hell, you can hear the hellhounds coming for you and that they drag you to hell basically. And it's Supernatural has a great depiction of it. One of my favorite shows.
I feel like if you try to get out of it, then you die young. But yeah. If you do what you're told, then you live for a long time. Because there's some guys that are fucking still around.
Jimmy Page is still alive. What's up with that?
I mean, we'll get into Jimmy. He's got a lot of stuff.
What? Jimmy Page?
He bought Crowley's house. Aleister Crowley, Aleister, however you say it.
Yeah, Aleister.
It's a castle.
Yeah, but it's like where he did all of his like witchcraft and like blatant devil worship.
Did he buy it because of that, or was it just awesome?
I think it's because of it.
Jimmy Page was big into the occult, but he wasn't a preacher of it. He wasn't trying to get, he even says, you know, he wasn't trying to get anybody to believe anything. He's like,
well, hey, Led Zeppelin's music is like completely innocuous, right? It's about like
a lot of their stuff is very into the occult. Like, look at that album that had, they had an album that had crop circles on it, you know, and Stairway to Heaven. If you play it backwards,
You know what? I just revealed myself to be one of those guys who listens to Rage Against the Machine, but has no idea what the message is. Because I love Led Zeppelin just because of John Bonham. I'm a drummer, and so I loved Led Zeppelin because of John Bonham, but I never really listen to lyrics of songs, so I don't really know what anything's about.
The big Zeppelin thing that I'm aware of is like the backmasking, and I think Willie was about to get to that, but that's where it gets crazy. Those were the videos I watched on YouTube and like would listen to Stairway to Heaven backwards and be like, I can't listen to this anymore.
What's backmasking?
Backmasking is, and I think me personally, I think it's been done as like part of the appeal, like the Beatles did it too, where you play a song backwards and hear a message. Paul is dead and all that. But the Stairway to Heaven one, if you play it backwards, it says like, here's to my sweet Satan. And
really?
There was, yeah, it, like it 666.
It's weird because now you can tell someone that something says something, and when they hear it, it's easier for them to hear.
Yeah.
But the lyrics of this are just so weirdly specific that it's like, how can I hear all of this? And it sounds more like a song backwards than it does forward, you know, because forward, there's all these fucking weird lyrics that are like,
it's like references, a scathing Pitchfork review of Led Zeppelin.
Well, I mean, I'm specifically talking about Stairway to Heaven, you know, where it's just like, there's weird English lyrics in it, but backwards, there's some weird fucking satanic shit.
I've always been of the mind that that's like borderline promotional. That some of that was there purposefully, especially with the Beatles when they are blatantly playing you reversed audio in the song as you're listening forward.
Yep.
It's like, well, what's that? So I think a lot of it is like, I'm going to go buy the record. I'm going to buy the album so I can play it backwards.
Sure. You know?
But yeah, also could be pledging their allegiance to Lucifer. We don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, why is Sergeant Pepper's album a funeral, you know? And,
yeah,
and I'm not going to get too much into that, but I'm like, the craziest thing about the Sergeant Pepper's album is that every single person that's pictured in that on that funeral is
with all the roses and shit, the flower garden in front of them.
Yeah,
they're all celebrities. There's a whole bunch of pictures of people on it, and the only weird person on there that stands out from that is a person who wrote a book about four people that left on a boat. And one of them died. And when they came back, they pretended like he was still alive.
Was it a yellow submarine?
Was that on that album? No, right?
I think it was a vessel. The other Beatles one is Abbey Road. The picture of them walking across the street. That was the album cover. Because Paul has his shoes off. And I think George is dressed in all denim. So he's supposed to be like a grave digger. I could be having the guys wrong.
No, that's right. The first guy's got a white suit on. So he's like the...
He's the preacher, right?
Yeah, preacher.
Undertaker. Those boys were good. That's my first hot take. The Beatles were pretty good.
And it's an interesting take. I haven't heard that about the Beatles.
A lot of guys disagree. It's kind of a niche opinion. They're not a very well-known band. But no, I that's always been something I wrestled with. And with the Beatles especially, I feel like that's more promotional because there's nothing about it that's like, they're all like hinting at Paul having died in a car accident. And, you know, now he's like this fake dude. But the Zeppelin stuff is where it's like blatantly talking like kind of demonic and the words don't make sense that they're saying. When you play them backwards, they like Willie said, it sounds
here's
like clear.
This backwards one. I'll say it for that. This is on Stairway to Heaven. Oh, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan. He will give those with him 666. There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer, sad Satan.
It does make me scared. Like, I just put out this album, Southern Galactic, and I'm like, if I sat and just played the whole thing backwards, is there ever a part where it sounds like I'm like, Satan is my buddy?
Right.
The here's to my sweet Satan thing, even the rest of it, because I've listened to it a bit, I've read like the words. When he says here's to my sweet Satan, it's clear. It's like, here's to my sweet Satan. Like, it's clear as day. And that was the only one that has ever like actually spooked me, you know, because it sounds like Robert Plant just saying it.
Yeah.
What is he saying forward though? Because like, how would you even,
if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed. No, it's just a spring clean for the May Queen.
I think that's the part. Spring
right?
King.
What does that
queen
mean? Some people think that that's like referring to getting aroused.
So. Who's the May Queen? Is that?
I don't know, man, because they're the British. Demons? I don't understand any British references.
And also, like, those guys that are so into the occult, like, what are these deities, beings, metaphors? Like, I don't know anything about that stuff.
Right. So when you get into the Illuminati, their whole thing, you know, picture all those symbols that are a word that work backwards and forwards. The word Illuminati, there's art of it to where if it's backwards, it still says Illuminati and looks exactly the same.
Like, yeah, that's a typography. That's like, man, a kind of thing.
And I just saw a video of the rapper Lil Uzi Vert, and I think it was Exo Tour Life, but it was one of his like massive songs. And he was at like one of his shows and he's like, all right, y'all came here tonight, so I'm gonna let y'all know, like, y'all are going to hell with me. And he's like, y'all didn't even know, like, you've been listening to this song and you didn't even know what it was doing to you or something like that. And I mean, like, all the like Lil Uzi Vert and Travis Scott and like all these people have upside down crosses on fire on their stage. And even if it's just like an art thing of like, oh, it worked with these rock stars to like hint at some dark stuff, so we'll do it too, because that's rock and roll. Like, maybe that's what's going on. But it's also just like a really, if I didn't believe in anything, no God, no hell, no nothing, like the full John Lennon treatment, imagine, like, it would still be weird to me to be like, let's just promote this stuff that like every religion, every person with like a spiritual life fears. Like, let's jump on that because that'll be cool.
And why do so many people jump onto it? Because there's so many people change after they get famous, where their shit completely changes. And I don't mean their music necessarily, but the music videos where they're specifically the person dying in the video, and then they get reborn and come back with like just fucking demonic shit everywhere. And it's like, what, you chose this?
But a lot of that is up to interpretation. I mean, like, you could show me a million Beyonce videos and I would never think like, oh, she's worshiping Satan. She's just dancing around. I don't know what this fucking means, whatever the fuck. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Satan worship stuff and the Illuminati go hand in hand. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to lose money one day. You know,
well,
I don't want to diminish the value of my soul when the Illuminati comes knocking.
We should talk about just literally how this would happen.
Robert Johnson went to a crossroads, brought his guitar, a large figure took the guitar from him, tuned it, played a song and gave it back to him. That's like the story. And then when he got it back, he was amazing. It's an easy myth tale. You know, these guys claim that they've all cited his lyrics and musicianship as being big influences on them. Bob Dylan, Keith Richards, Robert Plant, but he was living on a plantation. And he was instructed to take his guitar to the crossroads. And some people debate on where these crossroads are. Some people think it's in Clarksville, Mississippi. And some people think it's in Memphis, Tennessee. The story of selling your soul actually came from another guy before him, Tommy Johnson. Tommy Johnson, he claimed to have sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads for his guitar mastery. And so after these guys... Who's it after?
These two guys I never heard of sold their soul, like,
but they diminishing returns, people, man. Who also sold their soul, right? So
I don't give a fuck if I influence people.
They didn't have Instagram back then, you know. If Robert Johnson had an Instagram account, he would have had 100 million followers.
People would be skateboarding to it on TikTok and shit.
Yeah, well, I think like. There's something to be said there too, because I mean there were way less like well-known musicians during that time,
right?
So that's the compelling part to that story, is that like he wasn't very good, and then like he made the deal, because all these people nowadays speculate about being satanic or Illuminati or whatever had a great deal of talent. Like the idea that Beyonce was not a great singer, but then she did some kind of thing and became Beyonce, you know, for a lifetime of earthly pleasure followed by an eternity in hell. Like, I don't know. That's the crazy thing with those stories, is that they like didn't have the natural talent. And I think nowadays the thing is way more that like, oh, if you're good and you get really famous, then eventually you get led into some spooky room and the guys are like, we can make this times 100. You know, if you just, you know, give us some of your blood, and come put on this cloak and then we'll sign some stuff and you'll be rich tomorrow, you know?
But then there's also like the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours thing, where it's like maybe these two Johnson guys just weren't, they were good enough to sort of be on the radar, but like they just practiced enough to then become good. And I'm thinking of like, I know he's been canceled and everything, but Louis C.K. was like a hack fucking tour comic, and then something clicked in him, is like, oh, I can call my kids assholes and that's funny, and then he got huge, and then he like jerked off in front of girls. And but I just mean, it's not unheard of that, like, you can even say Larry David to a little, I'm sorry, I'm doing like too much TV entertainment stuff, but like, yeah. Larry David, yeah, he was successful with Seinfeld, but then I'm losing the thread of my point, but I don't know. What are some other examples?
The situation that's so different about the people that like sold their soul or whatever, it's all happened in their 20s, or like they're young or they're new to it. Like with Louis C.K., it's like maybe he was not the best comedian for 20 years.
Right.
And after 20 years of being on stage and not being the best, he figured it out. But like the Robert Johnsons and like Led Zeppelin, these guys were like 19 when they were first starting, and they were how they were. So I think that's why that's a more compelling conversation of like, you didn't have 20 years to practice this, and then you're so good we think it's the devil. Like, you just popped out this good.
Is Kurt Cobain on this list?
He's in the 27 club, but I don't.
Well, that's kind of why I brought him up. Yeah. And then like Jimi Hendrix and stuff, like the people in the 27 club, they're not necessarily involved in this.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's just really, people that kind of claim it. Let's just finish off Jimmy Page, because we brought him up. Yeah. He was big into the occult. He bought Aleister Crowley's castle. What about Robert Plant?
Was Robert Plant into it, or?
He wrote a lot of the lyrics, you know, and I think the whole band was into the occult a little bit. And the story from that backwards thing was that they basically made a deal in the shed. So like they were all together. I think the whole band.
That's the creepiest part of those lyrics, is the shed thing.
Yeah.
I never want to be in a shed.
Yeah. And especially not with the devil.
Not with the devil.
Yeah. It's, I think like the thing, the logic of this that like it's hard for me to digest is, in order to believe that this like demonic power is going to transfer you, you're going to get this power, you have to believe in like this evil or like this force. And especially if the lyrics are about the torture shed, you're acknowledging like you don't think this is like Jesus offering you talent just because he loves you so much. Like, you know, it's like something dark. And so if you believe that, then you're probably fairly likely to believe in like the opposite, the goodness. And so the idea that if you believe in Satan, then you have to believe in like hell and life after death. And so that it would just be a hard sell for me to be like, I'm going to give you, even if it's not 27, I'll give you 100 years of life. You'll be the most well-known, talented, richest person. And then after that, for eternity, which is never ending, it'll be cruel suffering, but you're going to have like a really kick-ass life.
To make that deal, I bet you half these people don't believe in the eternal afterlife. So it's like the deal doesn't sound as legit. Like, hey, you want to learn how to, you want to be a master? Like, then just let me be in charge.
It's like a catch 22 where you're like, sure, make me the best guitar player ever, whatever. But then you are, and you're like, oh, fuck.
I would immediately, if I didn't believe it, I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll drink the blood or whatever, like rituals going on in the shed. Like, this guy's nothing, but this sounds fun and cool. Then you wake up as one of the greatest guitar players in the world. You have to be like, shit, I better just enjoy this while it lasts.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And so let's get into Bob Dylan, right? Bob Dylan is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he on
breaking news. Bob Dylan has not died yet.
As of this
era. Is the Rolling Stones guitar player? He's still alive, isn't he?
Keith Richards will never die, but that's.
Yeah, because, that guy won't die. That guy definitely signed a deal with the devil. He had.
I think he signed with God. Yeah, no, I feel happy about Richards.
So in 1963, Bob Dylan recorded a song called Talking Devil, right? And he introduced the song by saying, "This is all about where the devil is. Some people say there is no devil, although the song is of questionable quality and was never performed again. It set forth the conviction." I'm just reading a conviction about the crucial importance of the devil in this world, to which Dylan has adhered all of his life. Right? He says the song opens with the demonic nature. It says, "Well, sometimes you can't see him so good when he hides his head beneath a snow white hood, so that people think it's like Ku Klux Klan." Second verse, "Well, he wants you to hate and wants you to fear something that's not even there. He'll give you your hate and he'll give you his lies. He'll give you the weapons to run out and die." And
this just sounds like a guy that I worked with.
That could have been him, man.
You're never going to convince me with poetry, because poetry analogies and metaphors. And
so in interviews, these are some of the things that he said, because in the 2000s, people were asking him like, why are you still touring? You know, like, you don't need to tour.
And endorphins. I shouldn't answer for Sir Bob Dylan.
Somebody's like, why are you still performing live? And he's like, it all goes back to the destiny thing. This is him talking. "I made a bargain with it a long time ago and I'm holding up my end." And somebody's like, "With who?" And he smiled and he laughed. And he said, "With the chief commander of this earth and the world we can't see." But he definitely has on occasion said that he, I sold my soul. You know, I did the thing.
I have a point about Dylan in particular, because Dylan also became a Christian and made Christian records and wrote a lot about like Christ. And also, even if you don't rock with Jesus, those albums are insanely good. Some of my favorite Bob Dylan stuff.
Which albums are they?
There's one that's called like Slow Train Coming. What's the other one? There's like a couple.
What era?
I think it was after he went electric. It was after that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't prepare my Bob Dylan sources.
No, it's well okay. Enough. So like early like, 90s, like kind of.
Probably older than that. Like he had some songs that were like blatantly about Jesus and about like having dreams about like Jesus. And there's all kinds of, I mean, it's true. Like Christian, how weak was the foundation I was standing upon? You showed me I was blinded, but that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when he's talking about the chief and all that, like part of me, let's play into the idea that he sold his soul to Satan for sure. Fame and great lyrics and stuff. What if, you know, he came to Christ and, you know, believing in the devil, you got to believe like the big G, the top dog, you know, God, Yahweh. And so maybe he's just like, look, you get me out of this mess, I will tell everyone about how great you are and I will play until you call me home. So like maybe, because it's hard for me to believe that he would make those like Christian records and that like Satan would be cool with it in the first place.
That's the thing. Has anybody played the Christian records backwards?
Don't do this
at
to
any
me,
rate,
dude.
I will say for
say
me,
Jesus Christ right now, and it sounds exactly like anal sex.
Blasphemy.
I'm wondering if so in order for me to believe in something in this realm, it makes me go, okay, I just cannot believe that our definitions of gods or Lucifer or anything are anything close to the reality of what their existence or what they are, you know, even saying all knowing, all powerful, that used to just rock my world going like, what does that mean? I don't understand the universe. What if there was an interdimensional being who.
This is so late in the podcast for you to bring this up. Go on. I'm sorry.
Because here's my thing. No matter who you pray to, no matter what religion you pray to, even if it's Lucifer, it seems that prayers get answered for everyone. And it makes me go like, what is this? Is it that as humans and our existence and our connection to the universe, when you pray for something, there actually is a power, and we're giving away this power to these things that we believe in when it's all actually in us? Or what if there was an interdimensional being that if you agreed to, and now I'll just say a couple sentences and then we don't need to go really on with it. But like, if you think of the Illuminati and you think of if there is a power to that, what if there was something claiming to be Satan or God or whatever in all these realms, the power that they had was to get all these other people that believed in them to give you your power. So like just the connection of like, I don't know, that's loose and that, but I'm like, I feel like everybody who prays gets what they want and it doesn't matter what you believe in. So it makes me believe in anything specific.
You think everyone who prays gets what they want?
Dude, all these guys that are talking about selling their soul to the devil, they are.
Yeah. Great. If you look up famous musicians, sure. But I like talk to fucking inner city black Catholics.
Well, I feel like most of the world has been blinded by being creative. And so what they're praying for are just things that, you know, like if you're praying for money, that doesn't.
All right. Well, here's where he spins it into creativity is the most important thing. Caleb, get us out of here. What you looked up some more stuff. Is there anyone we haven't mentioned that you want to talk about before we end?
No, I mean, I think it's a popular thing nowadays, just like a lot of these rappers and even like Billie Eilish and all these people that have all this weird, spooky imagery. It's hard to say if that's just for the cosmetic appeal and the vibe, or if it really is them pledging their allegiance to Satan. I will say that I know I'm doing the opposite of what you just told me to do, but I think like
go on as long as you want.
The whole like, from my understanding of like Christianity and the God of the Bible, is like when Christians pray, it's not really supposed to be like, God, I want to be rich and I want $1 million and a hot wife and a yacht. Like the Christian prayer and like the prayers Jesus said were always very much like, let your will be done. Like your plan for me is better than my plan for me. The reason that it's spookier, if you're praying or wishing for or manifesting or whatever, the kids are calling it for money and wealth and you'll do anything for it. It's not, to me, I think that definitely puts you on the radar of like the people looking for that genie. At least from like the Christian perspective, God is not like genie God, but mm-hmm. Satan, that's Satan's whole thing is like, mm-hmm. I can offer you power and wealth and everything you've ever wanted. And like, that's historically found in pretty much every piece of literature that refers to a devil or Satan or any of those things. So that's where it's like, if like, obviously there are people who are famous, like Christians and Muslims and all that kind of stuff, and they think they're God. But I don't think they are like thanking him like, oh, I prayed to God or Jesus or Allah and he gave me this. It's more of like I'm grateful that this was his plan for me. I'm undeserving rather than thank God I killed that virgin. So now I can be rich.
Yeah. Well, when you put it that way, I'm like completely anti-God now. Because this plan sucks, man. Like, replan this. This is awful.
It's been pretty good. It's frankly, I've never missed a meal, clearly. And so even my worst moments have been better than like 98% of historical people on this planet. So I personally feel pretty good.
You fucking high-roaded me. Come on.
Because the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I wasn't planning on talking about Jesus, but now I'm like, God's watching this. So I really got to like, I hate Satan. He's lame. Dude, Satan sucks. He can kick rocks. He's a defiler. He's a liar. He already lost. Like, enjoy your fun while you can, buddy. You can't get me, friend. Okay. I'm claimed, baby.
When they look back on your career, is this night the night that you're going to have turned into a gospel country musician?
No, it'll probably be like in 3 years if I get really famous. They'll be like, do you remember when Caleb denounced God?
It's the only episode that got lost from Real Life Sci-Fi.
Yeah, after the podcast, Real Life Sci-Fi was like, listen, do you actually want to be famous? Because we know a crossroad.
We can give you some stuff, man.
Memphis ain't far. Start driving, you know?
You did, but Willie, you did mention something, which is like, because the Bible and everything is so like kind of corporeal that I don't believe it, because it's like, how would any human ever, I know it's supposed to be God wrote it through people or whatever. What makes me think that might not be the case is, if you saw the devil and you didn't believe in this stuff, if you're nihilistic like me, and then the devil comes to you and he's like, hey, give me your soul. Yeah, ooh, I'll make you $1 million. And then you're like, whoa, that's fucked up. I just met the devil. It makes more sense to me that people would also then see God and be able to translate his teachings into the Bible. You know what I mean? This is a very long road to get to. Maybe the Bible isn't completely fictitious.
I think if we're operating on the assumption that the devil is real, just for the sake of this theory.
Sure.
I think the idea that he would come to you as a red man with horns and a pitchfork and be like, I can give you money. Probably not the case. I mean, the devil, from a biblical standpoint.
But how hilarious that would be, though.
Then it's hilarious when they go to hell and they're like, how'd this happen? It's like, you met the pitchfork guy. What are you talking about? Did he look like he lived in a rooms to go?
You
like,
trusted that guy? He had horns.
No, if the devil comes to you.
I was just getting a Slurpee.
Yeah, if the devil comes to you, he was the most beautiful angel in heaven before he fell. Like, he's going to be your best friend. He's going to make you feel great. Like, why else would he be such a good deceiver? He's not going to put all his cards in front of you.
What was Elvis's guy? The general or whatever?
Colonel.
The colonel. You think he was the devil?
I think just from stealing from everybody is probably the most demonic thing.
He's just a piece of shit.
Yeah, appropriation is the most demonic thing there is.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I wasn't there. I didn't meet the Kern. I know that my dad is my biggest supporter. I don't think he would mess with Satan to get me famous, but maybe the Colonel is not a man of such convictions.
Wait, is your dad your manager?
No, but he's my father, so he'll always supersede any position or role. He's the greatest man I know. So if my dad says something, it's law.
Oh, I'm jealous of your relationship with your father.
We'd love to have you guys over sometimes. Great. He's a sweet man.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is he still in Georgia?
He's in Georgia, but you know what? We can go wherever you guys are.
I'm going to Florida on the 28th. We can meet up in the Panhandle there.
Do you want him to take you fishing?
I don't like fishing. No, I don't want to do that.
Because you've never done it with my dad.
Can we do deep sea fishermen?
I throw rocks. I run around. I look for
deep sea fishing is the way that anyone. If you don't like fishing, you like deep sea fishing. It's the funnest.
I wanted to last time I was in Florida. I have family out there, and we were going to go deep sea fishing, but the ocean was too angry that day.
So well, you know who was a great fisherman and could calm the seas? The Lord Jesus Christ. So. Maybe that's your missing ingredient for your.
You're leaning too hard into it now.
I'm gonna go full Osteen in a minute. That's demonic. God wants you rich.
Yeah. Oh fuck, dude. Okay, we should wrap it up. We got a couple minutes here. So if there's anything we haven't covered, now's the time. What do you think, Willie?
I really want real quick, gentlemen. I just wanna firstly for everyone listening, watching. Thanks for accepting me. And to you two gentlemen, thanks for having me. It's easily been the most fun conversation I've had in a recorded format. But I also just want to say that my new album, Southern Galactic, which is available on all streaming platforms, was not inspired by any dark evil presence whatsoever. So if you're looking for music and you're like, I want to make sure Satan isn't using this as a tool to get into my heart and soul, you can listen to Southern Galactic right now. It's not a gospel album, but he inspired it. So that's my rule. And that's also why I'm not famous. Cause he calls me twice a day and he's like, you ready to sell it yet? I'm like, no,
I can still pay rent for now.
Yeah. I'm getting by.
I listened to the first six songs on your album and I just honestly cannot tell you how impressed I was. They were all fucking great, dude. Like Silverado's really good. A lot. It's weird because it has, you have songs that have some synth in them. I'm feeling like Cars inspiration, a lot of modern stuff. And I'm just like, dude, I listened to six songs and I loved six songs, dude.
Dude, thank you. I hope.
And they were all different and unique enough to where they didn't all sound the same. I don't know. It was really good,
man. And I just got to say real quick, first of all, thank you a ton. But I owe all of it to Titanic Sinclair, who produced the record. That was another, dare I say, God moment for me. Was I was just getting out of the bad spot that I was in that I mentioned earlier. And I was like, man, I got to do something with my life. And I got to do something that's good and cool and, you know, makes me feel like I'm really doing something. And I've been a fan of Titanic Sinclair for 10 years now. And I reached out to him and was like, this isn't going to happen, but just as an exercise, I want to let myself get rejected. And he just came back and was like, yeah, I want to be a part of it. I want to make it happen. And, I'm not a person who listens to my own music or, I'm not enough of a narcissist to be an artist. Really. It kind of is a disservice that I don't think I'm the greatest thing ever. But I'm pretty good. But
I don't think that's it. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, I live in Nashville, so everyone's like, I am the future, and I'd like to be. But this time is the first time I've been able to listen to something and just love it so much. greatly due to the work that he did. So I'm very happy to hear you say that. And it was kind of, I wanted to make country music that you didn't have to like country to enjoy, but also that didn't just move away completely and, you know, just be a pop record and call it country. Like, I want hardcore country fans who don't listen to anything past 1985 to be able to listen to it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't see how it cannot get huge, man. Honestly, like, it, I'm not even halfway through the album.
Wait, hang on. I'm sorry. Were you the runner up on American Idol?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're like pretty famous.
I'm relatively known. Not really for my music, more just for being so handsome. But yeah, no, I'm
okay. Super famous. We have to talk. All right, we got to end the episode. We're gonna do the bonus episode. I want to talk more about like what you would sell your soul for, but cool. I really want to talk about American Idol now.
Yeah, please.
I guess I should have looked you up before we started recording.
Can I tell you truly? I'm so happy you didn't.
Yeah.
What was that like? Yeah. Tell us about it. What was that experience like?
I don't want to. I'm not going to do that shit. I'm going to do
the dark side of American Idol. Yeah.
What's really going on? What was Gwen Stefani whispering to you in the, in the corners? I mean,
it is like a cattle call, just like push, push, push.
It was quite the summer camp, boys, and your patrons will hear all about it.
All right, great. So stick around for that. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Caleb, thank you so much for doing this and being here. The album is called Southern Galactic. You can get it now anywhere that you can get music. Any other plugs that you want to throw out there before we wrap up?
All my social media platforms are Caleb Lee Music. And if you look me up through this, message me and tell me. That would be really cool. And I'll let the boys know.
I would be very surprised if that happens, but
I guarantee it happens. The code word is penguin. DM me penguin. I will be looking. And again, like, I really just want to thank you guys. It's really been a blast. I'm excited for the bonus episode, and it's really cool. Just the whole energy that y'all set up here, and thanks for having me. And it's been a blast, and much peace and much love.
You're too gracious. Thank you so much for doing it. Willie, any plugs?
Go to Willie Bad Movies on Instagram. Do that. I make fake movie posters. Go on.
Yeah, I don't have any either. Just G.I. Throw. Just watch out for G.I. Throw. It's my new thing where I launched G.I. Joes out of mousetraps, and I'm going to make a whole show about it. So that's my thing. But it's like a year, and it's going to be a while. I got to do stuff. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Join us on twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi on Monday nights. And thanks for watching. Thank you again, Caleb. And just remember, because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Sci-fi.